Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, so it's Red News Podcast. Isn't this supposed to be my introduction?
Oh, right. Started.
Is that?
Yeah. Right, well, so this is Red...
This is good. All right. Well, you probably should like, give us a warning.
Well, I did for the last 5 minutes.
It's like a lights, camera, action kind of thing.
I haven't got a clipperboard. Right, so it's Red News Podcast 76. I'm well buzzing because this is the highlight of my week. Or potentially the highlight, the only highlight, is it was shopping day today. So that is it for the week. You build up, you write your list. It's got, so I'm happy with that. We're a further week down into week three. The child in me keeps hoping we'll just wake up and there'll be the neat of the phone will bleep and it'll be, they've found a cure. But that's not happening. So I go to bed a couple of times a week and I'm absolutely fucking petrified and can't sleep. But other than that, we're doing okay. Where's this Manchester United come from that are doing everything really decent at the moment? Mental, really good. So long may that continue. Can't criticise them for anything that they've done recently. Even the TRA season tickets reduced. You know, there's always a but. They should be doing it across the ground. But since the last 4 weeks, every move United have made has been really good. So a fanzine born out of protest, we can only say keep it going, United. I would say there's only four of us today, me, Nathan, Nick and Steve, and Shane will be back next week, but he's on a one podcast ban after his Norman Collier shambles of, I've listened to that twice and I still don't know what he was asking at the end. Right, and we've got my pathetic quizmaster shambles. I've already stepped down as penalty taker and Nick's taking it over later, so he's got a few questions. Right, so Nathan, Steve, Nick, how you doing, lads?
All right, not bad. It's been all right. I lost my grandpa passed away over the weekend. Whether it's because of this, it probably was, but I'm not entirely sure. But he was at home, he was comfortable, so that's all we can really ask for, really, I guess. He was like a massive United fan. He had a season ticket for decades and decades. I remember him. Like, that was my first games that I went to were through him. He had a season ticket in the South Stand for years and years and years with one of his old mates, maybe 10 rows back from like the benches and stuff. So it was like proper like prawn sandwich brigade, but. You know, he loved it, and he stopped going maybe 15 years ago when it was just starting to get a bit too much for him. You know, like he passed away. He was 98, so probably about 15 years ago he stopped going. But even right to the end, he was always watching the games and just loving it. And just before Christmas, Nick somehow got some nice, really nice scarves from the club, like black silk, not silky, but just like really nice materially scarves. And I gave mine to my grandpa and he really liked it. And I spoke to my dad the other day and he said that basically that's going to be his little thing in when he's, you know, for the funeral and stuff, that'll be like in the coffin and stuff. So that's, you know, that's a nice little touch.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. We're all so sorry for you, Nathan. And obviously, you're dealing with, you know, surreal times. So you're saying about the funeral that there can only be 10 of you.
Yeah, so that'll be 2 weeks. So 2 weeks yesterday it'll be. So there can only be 10 of us. That's literally just at the crematorium. It'll literally go there. It's the crematorium, and then. That's it, really. We all have to leave, but he's been not ill, but it's been on the cards for quite a while because of his age. He had a bad turn like this time last year, and since then it's sort of been iffy. So I think this is what sort of, you know, was the obviously like the final thing for him, but it's already been planned. Like there are, so they're gonna have a proper. He was him and my grandma were always very religious, so that they're gonna have a proper service at the church and stuff, and then a wake and everything properly once we can get back to normal. But it'll be odd in a couple of weeks, but
yeah.
Just how it is at the moment, and that's the thing. It's like at least we're able to do that. And like, remember a few weeks ago when they was talking about all funerals gonna have to be on like video link and stuff. That'd be horrible. But luckily, we were able to. The closest of family would be able to be there and stuff. So.
Well, you're in our thoughts, mate, and all our love to you.
Yeah,
and how you doing, Nick and Steve?
All right, got into a pretty good routine. So
what's that, sleep?
Well, sort of, yeah. I get up in the morning, I have some fruit and fibre, keep me regular.
Nice.
And then, go for a nap about 11:30.
What time do you get up?
About 7:30, 8:00, then go for a bit of a nap.
You're in that Devo mode, though, so your kid has actually stopped napping and you're carrying them on.
Sorted him out, had a word, back in it, told him, right, come on, pal, you've got my jeans, we have naps during the day, so yeah, he's back on it. Then doing some, like, put a tent up for him yesterday, so I've got a big tent in my garden, not entirely sure why.
So you just like buying things, don't you, Steve, really? If you see any, I bet in the old days, do you remember those magazines you had in the Sunday newspapers that just sold shit? I bet you used to buy fucking everything in those.
I fucking didn't. So you had to pay full price for anything.
Like slippers that had holes in the front to make your feet breathe and things like that for 40 quid. How are you, Nick?
Yeah, I am. I'm still alive. I thought the missus would have killed me off, or at least called the wedding off by now. No. So she's not discovered I'm a massive twat yet. So
no, but you're lying down. That's a good sign. You're lying down prone like Dirty Den. It's a little bit creepy, Nick. Can you sit up, mate?
I'm going for the Joe Exotic look.
No, this looks really. It looks like we're talking shit, and you're here for another reason. I'll tell you what wound me up the other day watching Match of the Day. Don't do that, Steve. Steve's licking his finger. That I watched Match of the Day the other day, and Shearer just being, you know, choosing his best game, the 5-0, and you just think it just wound me up. So I was glad that football was still making me angry on a Saturday night during the fucking apocalypse. And do you think this? I asked it last. Do you think when we're through this, whatever that comes, whatever it is, that we will get as worked up about it all as we do?
Not for the end of the season, I don't think. I think we just... I just think it's going to be a bit of a damp squid, the end of the season, just because it's inevitably going to be played behind closed doors. I just can't wait for, like, the first sort of games of the new season, because people are going to be so fucking drunk. It's going to be...
Yeah, we are.
I mean, when you're selling outside the ground, it's sometimes amazing to see how drunk people can get for dinner time. It's like, fuck me, you're like 4 a.m, pissed off your face. Like, people just like stumbling all over and dribbling burgers down the faces. But I think, yeah, everyone's going to do that, and I'm quite looking forward to seeing that.
I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
I can't wait for that. It'll be great, because, like, obviously we all have our... like regulars and stuff. It'll just be nice to see people again.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. There's a tinge of sadness that I'm already hearing of Red's passing away, that I'm worried for people I don't really know, you know, that not even just people who buy the mag, but people who walk past that you say hello to. And I'm just fearful,
I
think.
Know,
but you know, and I just think, will the Old Trafford landscape, but that's me overthinking it, you know, but will that change so dramatically? And that's, again, United are doing really good things, because I know, because they're helping, you know, that to people who are poorly, they're sending out letters if they hear about them. So they're decent people at United, you know, doing good stuff. I've got something to cheer you up. that I read today that this could be the future for every next 5 years. We could have one of these. So, there you go, lads. Get ready.
Well, I'm quite, yeah. I have a lot of time off at the moment.
We'll be more prepared for it by then, won't we?
I like the way that John showed a clipping in the Sellers group saying, teachers, you may be going back after Easter, you know, that rumour that spread, and Steve's just aghast with fear. No, they can't return back to normal.
To be fair, I need to stop buying shit.
So that's what I mean.
I've had an eBay account for fucking, I don't know, however many years, but I've not used it. So, because I've got my password and everything, reset my password, and I've been buying all sorts of shit. So, yesterday I bought a vest.
Can't wait for this.
You bought a vest?
A what?
Yeah, I had to wear a vest, partly because it's brand new. But, yeah, I buy a vest because I know it really annoys Lauren. I bought some of those cables so I can do some light weights in the garden with them. Because I'm sick of picking paving slabs up. So the neighbours must think I'm just a bit daft at just picking paving slabs up. So I bought that. What else have I bought? Oh, I bought some strips for my nose so I don't snore anymore, Barney.
So you are just going through old fucking Sunday magazine supplements. All I've been doing is just buying alcohol.
Yeah, I bought loads of booze, yeah. Loads of booze as well.
You bought any face packs?
Bought some drill bits.
Drill bits.
What else have I bought? Can't remember.
We're not on the shop. It's not QVC, Steve. We're not, and it's not the Generation Game. A cuddly toy.
And a cuddly toy.
Right, so I tell you what, getting back to United, it was 30 years ago. I'm going to bore you with a few memories here. 30 years ago since the FA Cup final, semi-final, the first game, 3-3. And what was fantastic about that was the United turnout. We were all in the Britannia and the nightclub Saturdays on the night before. And there were hundreds of United, and the actual police had to come to clear the nightclub at the end because there were that many United fans singing at the end of the night. Next day, had to be about 500 people in the hotel all drinking, watching obviously Palace beat Liverpool. So the atmosphere and the mood as we went to Main Road was fantastic. And it's hard to explain to people who are only, you know, born recently, because we hadn't had a cup for 5 years. The feeling then, even for the semi, was like this was something special. And I can remember people wearing rosettes into Main Road. And the feeling when we won that replay all the way through was like, this is incredible. So how we end this podcast is one of the readers, Dan, said, oh, about 1985, to talk about that. Now, for me, that stands out. I was 14. We got into Wembley. There must have been 15,000 over, jibbed in, paid over. Apparently, Gateman, there was always stories, Gateman had got tenners each, had fucking retired on the takings. And it was so packed. For that feeling at Norman's winner was incredible, like one of the greatest days of my life. To feel that packed into that standing end was mint. So Dan, at the end of this, he actually sent through a voice thing, which is quite nice. I thought it shows. The next thing, obviously, a week ago we announced the Red News special. So the only way we can do it, really, to survive is we launch a sub-campaign in a few weeks, but to make the next mega double issue. And for people buying it already, thank you so much. As ever, you're so kind, everyone. And I would say, like, the Gooner has made a point. You know, you've got all the new ways of doing football and talking about it and football fans. But the one thing, a fanzine is different because it takes time to reflect. And you actually get time. It's not instant. It's not an instant opinion. And there's something still to be said for that. So thank you. Right, talk shit, Steve, to what you've ordered again.
I can't remember now. I know that Laurie needs to stop fucking buying cushions for my house. I looked at my credit card statement the other day and she spent £120 on fucking cushions from Next.
I've never been a big cushion man. I'd imagine Next into cushions big time.
It's still, well, we're not off such
a... I don't mind a cushion.
Still in
I don't mind a cushion. I sleep with four pillows, mate.
Do you? That's excessive.
I'm up to four pillows now.
And one...
I know it is, but I have...
One.
I have like two... And then, like, one either side of me, so I can just, like, spoon them.
Lawrence, I like
how many people do you think you've got in your bed, Nick?
What?
Is it like you want a pillow orgy or something? You just want to pretend you're surrounded by people.
I feel like it's because the missus doesn't touch me. I like to use
here we go.
Pillows to stimulate that.
Right.
Lauren's got one of those big, massive, like U-shaped pregnancy pillows because she's pregnant. But I've pinched it. I've like a roller when she's like when she's asleep. Take it. And like wrap it around myself, it's amazing.
This has really got odd, lads.
I'll order you one off eBay.
This has really got odd. So, are any of you?
The V pillows are the best. Those orthopedic pillows are incredible. It's like,
yeah.
Can we just end this?
And I threw up on mine.
In a few years, I'm gonna get one of them.
Nathan, shall we carry on talking about United and let them two have a pillow fucking sex talk?
So,
Nathan, are you just paying any
attention? It lifts you up in the
right.
So
how do I cut them off? Are any of you paying attention to transfer talk at all?
No, I never have. I don't pay attention
to it. What I did think was interesting,
let alone at the moment.
What I did find interesting, actually, was what Ole was saying. I listened to his interview with Gary Neville, whatever it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was saying how United are going to be in a really good position when all this dies down. We've got financial backing and other clubs will be desperate for money where we can manipulate and take advantage of that. That's about as much as I've listened to because I thought, yeah, fair enough, I kind of get that. That's probably a good way of putting it.
But did you read the Accrington Stanley chairman saying how fucked they are if they just persevere with finishing this season? Because it doesn't allow any planning for next season.
Is anyone watching this on Channel 4?
No, we're concentrating on this, Steve.
He's called the mum, he's got the threat. Just watching the band and she's just sat there giving him the finger telling him to fuck off.
Right, you're supposed to be paying attention to this, Steve.
I am, sort of.
But football, I mean, if this carries on for 6-9 months... it's all redundant because you are seriously talking about a lot of clubs going under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... I don't know. There's so many parts to it. Like they keep on saying, you know, if the peak, but if it goes down, it's all coming back in November. So it goes back to the... You complete this season, but next season, what do you do? Does this... I don't know. You know...
We just have to feel very thankful that we personally are in a situation where our club will be okay, because the realistic thing is that there will be a lot of, like, you know, there was already obviously Bury, and there were already clubs that are on the line
the brink.
Of not being able to exist without this.
And yeah.
I think realistically, there's going to it's not happened yet, but there is going to be clubs that are going to be gone, and it's horrible. So
going back to my earlier point, say we only play 20 games in the next year, however they work it, a special tournament, I don't know what, or even if it's just this, can you seriously get wound up by Jesse Lingard or Pereira if we're limited to that amount of games? Or am I just...
Well, of course you can.
Why?
Because there's less games.
Why? Because there's only a few games of football, and I see enough of them at the best of times.
Yeah, but can't we just...
You know, if there's less...
Can't we just enjoy it? Haven't we just worked how much United means in a world where other things are more important? Can't we just enjoy whatever we're going to get in the next year?
Yeah.
Well, we'll enjoy it.
Yeah, of course we will. But I just think, you know, the one thing I've said before, Twitter and all that are so less toxic. Surely we've got to learn a few lessons from this. I'm not saying, you know, get wound up and all that, but some things do not fucking matter, do they? Let's be honest.
The things that we
thought mattered 6 months ago do not matter. Do you like the serious tone I said that in?
It's true. Like, you know,
yeah, but then I say that, and then I'm pissed on a Saturday night, and I'm fucking hurling obscenities at Alan Shearer. who really winds me up still.
Driver like you normally do.
I don't think anyone wants you to change that.
See, and the thing I'm missing the mates. It's not so much the games, it's the memories to come. But you think, it saddened me today. We could have been playing a quarter-final first leg, and then I just thought, Nathan would have been selling. Sorry, Nathan.
Who would it have been against? Who do you think it would have been?
Don't know. It would have started getting good, wouldn't it? It would have started getting...
Who would have been the lowest seeded team in that number, and that's who it would have been, wouldn't it?
God knows. Nickard knows, something like that.
You know what? If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have known the answer, but I've erased football from the brain these last 2 weeks.
You would have got the seedings and everything. You would have got their coefficient on fucking UEFA.
I'll do that now.
Have you left the house yet, Barney?
No, not in 3 weeks. I'm waiting to see. I've got a text saying my AIDS is high risk, but they sent it to millions and they said you'll wait for a letter, and I've not had a letter, so I don't know. But my disease itself is considered high risk on the rheumatology thing, so I'm not risking it. But what if United play in 6 weeks? Then I'll be at the game, lads.
You can see, I know you're growing your hair, well, you're trying to grow your hair at the moment. You can just sort of see a little bit of fuzz.
Do you like it? I'm trying to grow Bobby Charlton at the end. The comb over.
I've gone the other way. I've just shaved my...
My missus says it looks ridiculous and get it cut, so...
Oh, it does look ridiculous, but that's more easy to keep it.
It does.
Oh, thanks, lads. Cheers for the backup. Nick's sloping further down his bed to look even more pesty. Right, so Nick, come on, give us the quiz. Hit us with the quiz. We know this because we did it for your stag do.
Steve, do you like my love hat?
No.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of
that. Right, enough.
Got a few of them right now.
Quiz, please.
Love that, therefore.
Quiz. Yeah.
How do you want me to read it?
How many questions?
Just want me to read it and then...
How many questions?
There's only 10.
10.
There's
so there's 10 points at stake.
Do I have to answer any of these?
Well, we can talk.
No, this is one you've done it.
We did it at the stag do last week. But
this is for the listeners.
Is it 10 points at stake, 13, Nick?
It's out of 13 because question 3 is worth 4 marks.
All right, come on then. Do a better job
so
than
I'll
me.
I'll read the questions out and then we'll do the answers later.
Yeah. Go on then.
No, it's out of 13.
Question three.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well done. Good match.
Come on, you're not supposed to be messing this up, Nick.
So, question one was who scored United's first Premier League goal? You might want to pause this. I'll read them quick and you can pause it.
What, you're telling them two was, the listeners to
yeah,
do
it? Them, oh. Yeah. You just pause it. I'll read it out. You pause it. Question two, how many times did Sir Alex get offered the England job? Question three is...
In slower, Fergie's a bit slower, London, Nick. A bit slower, Nick.
You, right, you can go press on. Pause.
All right, go on.
Bloody hell.
Go on.
In Fergie's book leading, this question's worth 4 marks. In his book leading, which 4 players does he describe as the only world-class players he ever managed?
That's
a
good...
point three chance.
That's a good question, that, though.
Very good.
I didn't... That's a good one, that.
I think everyone got 3, but you all forgot a different one, didn't you?
No, I think I got about 1.
apart from you, I think Ben got all 4.
Yeah, Ben was great at this. Right, go on.
He was good, actually. Question 4 was, when United played Spurs on the final day of the season in 1999, Andy Cole scored a famous chip over Ian Walker, but who scored United's first in the 2-1 win that clinched the title on the final day?
Easy. If anyone gets that wrong... Hang your head and go for a walk of shame.
in the 2 meter distance from the
Social distance in your walk of shame.
Yeah. Number 5 was Wayne Rooney's the club's top goal scorer, but how many Premier League titles did he win at United? Everyone got that wrong, I think, apart from Ben.
Got it all right, didn't we? Probably all got it right.
No, I got it wrong.
most got it wrong. Question 6, when United beat Ipswich Town 9-0 in 1995, Andy Cole scored a Premier League record 5 goals in 1 game. But which player scored the first goal in the rout? So that's question six. Number seven was, which player has the most consecutive league appearances for United at 206?
Oh, Reds will get that. You'll all get that.
I got that wrong, you know.
You were asking the questions.
I know, yeah, but I saw the question and I guessed it and then I got it wrong. Number eight, because of crowd trouble, in August 1971, United were forced to play a home game at Anfield in front of 27,000 United fans. But which team did they beat 3-1 on the day?
What year was that again? It blurred out for me, so I don't know if it did for everyone else.
Well, 1971.
August 1971, United were forced to play a home game at Anfield in front of 27,000 United fans. But which team did they beat 3-1 on the day? Question nine. In what year did United win their first FA Cup? It's quite an easy question. And last question is, known as Slabhead to many, what nickname did the United players give Harry Maguire before his debut versus Chelsea? And that's your lot.
Well done. That's your lot. Well done, Nick.
That's your lot. That's the lot.
That's the lot.
It's come to something where Jamie Oliver's half an hour is actually like bookmarked to watch because I just want to watch something new.
Yeah.
Right, Steve, you look like you're half asleep.
I'm pretty tired today, Barney.
But you say that every day. It's like a. It's just like a.
It's because I have a lot of like mental work to do. I have to like figure a lot of stuff out. It's ever so like stressful.
Oh, Steve.
Don't. I'm good. I think I might watch either an episode of Walking Dead or an episode of Better Call Saul. I'm not sure yet.
Walking Dead because there's only a few left and they've delayed the. Are any of you watching Westworld? I'm still enjoying that, but that's a deep thinking. You have to really think. It's good.
I thought the first series was good, but the second one was too clever for me.
Yeah, well, that's got even more thoughtful. But it's quite good because it's all about algorithms and all that shit and people's fate being decided and all that. What's that?
Just Steve's taking the piss out of you.
Why do they make things dead complicated? I mean, it's all right for you because after you watch stuff, you go on like some weird forums and find out the brightest meaning behind this and the.
Yeah, but I say that I've just watched. Me and the missus have just watched the most brain dead 40 on Netflix, 47 meters under and uncaged about these mutant shark, blind sharks in Mexico in this cave. It is so bad. There was no checking afterwards. It is that stupid. Naturally, they all got.
Have you watched Tiger King yet?
No. Everyone keeps raving about it, don't
they?
Incredible.
Barney will watch it. You still don't watch Breaking Bad, have you, Barney?
No, I got started on that. I know, shameful. Nor The Wire. All these top. Right, so Nick, come on. Answers.
Oh, right, you're on the answers.
Oh,
right.
We're doing the answers.
When was that one left?
So, United's first Premier League goal scored by Mark Hughes. Question two, Sir Alex officially got offered the England job twice. And he's put leading the four world-class players were Scholes, Giggs, Ronaldo and Cantona, point for each. When United played Spurs on the final day, who scored the first and the 2-1 win? It was Beckham.
Easy.
Rooney. Question five, Rooney won five Premier League titles. Question six, when United beat Ipswich 9-0 and they closed five, Rob Keane was the first player to score in the rout. Number seven, the most consecutive appearances at 206 is held by Stevie Coppell. Number Easy. Eight, because of the crowd trouble in August 1971, they were forced to play Anfield against Arsenal. They did play a second game after that, which was at the Britannia Stadium, I think it was. Anyway, number nine, United won the first FA Cup in 1909. And then question 10 was, known as Slabhead to many, what nickname did the players give Harry Maguire before his debut? And that was Dennis the Menace.
That's an odd one, isn't it?
turn up on. It was in the mirror. That's where I saw it.
I know, but that's. I love the way you described the 9-0 and you added route, Nick. Like we wouldn't have known it.
Oh, yeah. I have to describe it. That's one of my favourite United games, that, you know.
Well, I posted the link today, and it is good seeing stuff like that. I'm still enjoying going through old United highlights, I have to say. That's cheering me up. Blessed we are, blessed we are.
About the YouTube channel for United, they've got a load of great stuff on there to watch all the classic games and stuff.
We are blessed.
I give them credit for that. They've done a good job with that.
We've not realised sometimes how lucky we are, really. You know?
That's what I said, wasn't it? You know, it's like, we've done all right, haven't we?
Well, and your granddad as well. Seeing a 98 years is incredible, mate, really, you know?
Yeah.
And the photo you showed of him playing football with you, and he was dressed up, as we said, as granddad's. He's got the full Sunday gear on.
He's got his full, like, granddad Sunday best on, and I've got the grey United shirt on.
His jumper actually looks like the one that Barney's wearing at the moment. That is awful. What the fuck is that?
Well, which is your favourite United kit?
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
The 84, is it, with a badge in the middle? Or that one? Or was it 85, 84,
yeah. Nick?
Can I pick two?
Go on.
I've got the 95 one where it had the stadium on it. I like that one.
Oh, really?
And then, wow. Yeah, love that one. And then the other one was the blue and white one that had all the legends' names on it, which was what? We won the league in 96-97. I had that with Kanchelskis on the back when I was 7.
Did you?
And they had to literally put Kanchelskis from literally all the way down the sleeves all the way across. And I had to make the writing specially small because he was my favourite player and I was desperate to get him on there.
I used to like that... the blue, Joe, the, like the Hacienda away one.
Yeah.
But the only problem is, I love the shorts, because the shorts were like shell shorts, weren't they? But the only downside to it, I think everyone I know wore it that often, that where it said sharp, that went pink and then started peeling off.
Nathan, what's yours?
So I've still got all of my dad's kits, shirts. I was thinking about this. I've never bought a United shirt for myself.
Yeah.
But I've got all of my dad's ones from when he was younger, and then all of my ones from when I was a kid. And I think, what was the one with the lace in it?
93-94, the one you wore selling the other week. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other month.
I really like that one.
You've worn a couple selling.
I like that one, and I think the black one, the black one with the collar with the yellow on it.
Palace, that's probably the best United kit, that one.
Yeah, but the black,
I really like that.
The black sharp one where Lee Sharp himself scored Villa Park, that one. 78-79, home and away, green off, but also the home one's underrated. Rotterdam, brilliant.
Yeah, I like the Rotterdam.
Rotterdam's fantastic. One. And then the 99 one, but also the 99 one they bought out that said European Cup winners, that had the shiny badge, that always looked nice.
Yeah.
I don't like that. We've said before, but that it looks virus ridden, the one they're planning on bringing out next season, if we get a next season. Right, lads, final thoughts?
The 63 Cup final one's nice as well, actually. The one we beat Leicester. I quite like that one. It's just nice to play.
And the 50th anniversary, the way they did that was very moving,
Yeah.
Right, final, Steve, your Zen's all good, lads, apart from the
just
obvious.
What shit I'm going to buy tomorrow off eBay.
Buy some red noses then, Steve.
I've got enough of them in the garage,
mate. All right, see you later, lads. Take care.
See you,
love to your family, bye. Nathan. Bye. See you later, lads.
All right, thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let me just give you a little bit of context here. The 85 Cup Final, my sort of experience of that Cup Final. Now, as I'd said on Twitter before, I didn't actually make the game. I was around 10 years old, and my first experience of a United match was at the start of that season against Watford, which I think was a 1-1. that FA Cup Final weekend, I went down to my grandfather's. He was a big blue, and he managed to get tickets for that game at the start of the season and took me along, which was a bit of a jaunt for me because my family and I, who originally from Manchester, we'd moved up to Glasgow, and so if we ever wanted to get down and see a game, you know, we'd have to travel there and back, which, funnily enough, I do plenty of right now. So that final 85 was really special. I'd say I was a fan prior, but it was probably the first game I remember having that feeling of, you know, real elation. So my cousins, they were big Reds as well, and the three of us, along with my younger brother, had gone to Lytham St Anne's for the weekend to stay at my grandfather and grandmother's flat, which was a great spot on the promenade. They lived there for years, so it was a kind of always a venture there in the summers as well. And that day in 85, though, you know, I'll never forget the sort of pacing behind the couch and sat in the middle of the floor, the rug in front of us, just waiting for that game to kind of get started. Now, for those of us who remember, you know, Everton were a serious team back then. They had Graham Sharp, they had Neville Southall in goal, phenomenal keeper, Trevor Stephen, really talented English midfielder, and of course Andy Gray, another great footballer as well at the time. But we obviously had a great team as well, and I loved the way sort of Big Ron had them playing. You know, they played pretty well that season, sort of fell off towards the end. But, you know, we had a talented team back then. You could see the makings of, you know, what the future held for United. You also forget now, but back then, football on TV was a rarity. You know, but an FA Cup final day, it really sort of began at 8 a.m. It was kind of the big game of the season. So the build-up in TV, the debate with family, you know, the newspapers and the pullouts you would get during the week. You know, that's why the competition was held in such high esteem. And it meant everything. Winning the FA Cup is obviously not taken as seriously now, but back then it was kind of the big trophy, one of the big trophies in European football. So as far as the league went, as I said, you know, I think we finished maybe fourth-ish that season, I think. And you could see sort of that talent. But as I said, we the game sort of came off the rails after we beat Liverpool in the semis. And it went to a replay that semi. And Robin Hughesy got the goals, you know, Brian Robson, my hero, getting the goals in that semi-final. So the final at Wembley, there must have been about, you know, 80, 90, probably even 100,000 back then. You know, Wembley was a different kind of stadium as well. It's crazy to think now, but, you know, all those fans before the game and the build-up. And I think it was on both channels as well. You had ITV and BBC as well. I would sort of tended to stick with BBC because you could avoid all the adverts, etc. And whatnot. So to the game itself, you know, the quality of the players on show was exceptional. And I did a little bit of research just before I posted this to you just now, Barney, but 21 of the 22 players on show became full internationals. So it just tells you everything about the talent that was on show back then. But the game itself, I think the first half sort of just flew by. I don't really remember much about that first half. It was sort of a bit of a blasé affair. Nothing really sort of happened. I think there was one chance for Everton that went really close, but, you know, outside of that, really nothing happened. And the second half improved. I remember Norman Whiteside had a really good chance. I think he went through in Southall, you know, managed to save it. Neville Southall, for those that don't remember, you know, he was what a keeper he was back then. Unbelievable. Really good keeper. And we had a great keeper as well, but he was, you know, just fantastic. So the game pretty much looked destined for extra time, but then round about the 80th minute, maybe just before then, of course, it was that famous tackle from Kevin Moran. I don't think it was necessarily his fault. I think McGrath had maybe mistimed a tackle, let Reed through, I think, and then I don't know what happened. It was sort of just all a bit of a blur, and he got sent off. And of course, I remember, you know, the commentary at the time and the debate was, you know, full on, because it was the first ever FA Cup final sending off. And, you know, I just, even to this day, I still look back at that tackle and think, how, you know, was that the right decision? You know, if you're looking at it now, football has changed, of course, and tackles have changed, but back then I just couldn't believe it. Absolutely gutted. So we managed, thankfully, to take the game into extra time, and you know, I've never felt any, you know, as nervous as that as a kid. And that was kind of that sort of feeling really probably also drew me into the club in later years. But anyhow, you know, we managed to regroup, and you know, the game went deep into extra time, and you know, I suppose the rest is a bit of history. The ball came to Sparky. He turned, sent it out to the right hand side, and then Norman ran it to Pat Mandon Howe, and you know, cut inside with tired legs. And I say tired legs, that was actually Norman's words when he recounted the story to me on a United tour a few years ago that my wife got me for my birthday. And, you know, I asked him to talk me through the 85 Cup final goal, which was a very special moment. And then he just, you know, hit this left foot curler into the corner. It was an unbelievable goal in Southall. That vision imprinted in my mind of him stretching for the ball, his right hand side, couldn't quite get there, and then it went. And of course we won it, you know. You know, but that was what a moment that was, as that ball went in. You know, I hurdled that couch, my cousins on top of me, and for that moment, that sensation, you know, of true joy just kind of filled me. You know, and that's the elation, the buzz and unity between family and friends. You know, that's the game, and that trophy and that moment was really meant everything. And I think that really drew me into football. I was there before, I was a fan before, but that was, I think, the moment I really, you know, everything became United to me. And I really miss those days, you know, miss my grandfather and seeing that jump and him watching me and a little bit of a cheeky smile on his face. You know, but that was the 85 Cup final for me. I think football really ultimately brings joy like nothing else, and no other team can quite do it like United. So fingers crossed we get it back soon, and yeah, take care everybody. Thanks.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.